Hello, everyone, and welcome to day 14 of Jesus Revealed, season 3. We're in episode 14 today, day 14 / episode 14. And today we're looking at the book of Psalms. But maybe just before we get into the book of Psalms, another explainer. So Jesus Revealed season 3's challenge and belief is that all of scripture, every book in the Bible has a testimony about Christ and points to Christ. And so our challenge over the next 40 days is us actually proving that and showing it to you so that your love for the Lord increases as you love his word as well. So there's a true mandate behind what we're doing. But we're so happy that you guys are here. We're so happy that you're joining us from wherever that you're listening and watching us. So specifically within Psalms. So Psalms, there's a lot of it pointing to Christ, but we're going to specifically look at Psalm 23. And so naturally then, our title is Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. And I'm joined today by my brother, Mr. Joash. Bro, how are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Z. I'm doing good. Yeah, how are you doing?
Good, man. Good. I'm just excited about this season and quite happy about just all the guests, all the ministers, the faithful men and women that have really just come before you. And obviously, it's nevertheless with you, man.
Thank you so much, Z. I'm sure everybody's just been imparting so much of life and
indeed
deep understanding.
100%, bro. 100%. And I'm quite now excited even for the book of Psalms. I think as I was introducing and even as we were talking on the sides, Psalms 23 is, sure, it's a very meaty book.
Definitely.
It's a beautiful book.
Definitely.
Meaty as well.
Definitely.
A lot of pointers to Christ. But
definitely,
I think for the purposes of today, let's
definitely
look at Christ as a shepherd.
Yeah.
But I think maybe before maybe we go into Psalms 23, maybe if we can take a step back, bro, and just look at just the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
And just look at its background and how then does it connect to the rest of the Bible.
So inside of my notes, I actually was doing a bit of research. I thought it was very interesting, right? So we know the book of Psalms, and it's also a book that was designed to be like a hymn book.
It was split
into 5 different sections.
Yes.
So it covers like a vast majority of topics such as poetry, worship, deep lament, praises to God, and also specifically it talks about the coming of the Messianic King. So I think the beautiful thing about Psalms is it focuses on God. It focuses on covenant. Yeah. It focuses on worship. But the purpose that I wrote down here was actually to teach God's people how to pray in all circumstances.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shifting focus from personal problems to God's sovereignty.
I love that. I really, really love that. And I think maybe historically for me, as you were saying, it's actually a great book of prayer. I never realized it until I think a year or two ago, where I stumbled onto a guide that says, hey, you can pray through the Psalms, and it's a whole reading plan, and you find a psalm and you
absolutely
just pray around that.
Absolutely.
And I didn't realize how good that was. It's a very, very good prayer. Now, let's look then at the chapter that we're looking at. Psalms 23 is a very popular chapter. I think a lot of believers, even non-believers, I dare to say, can recite it off by heart without even looking
That's
at
true.
It.
That's true.
Yeah, and so when looking at Psalms 23, just from a definitions point of view, let's look at maybe the function of a shepherd and how does the Lord God then serve as this shepherd to his people?
So I think if you look at a shepherd holistically, one of the shepherd's duty is to be a provider, a protector. He takes intimate care of his sheep. He has knowledge of where his sheep are at all times. And also, it highlights really God's intimate care for his people.
That's the real
role of a shepherd. And I think the beauty of it is that Jesus is not just a shepherd. He's also a king.
So
when we think shepherd, sometimes we think somebody who's just like passively watching over his flock.
Sure.
But here we've got an element of the shepherd also being the king. There's this element of power.
And I then want to maybe just from a second part, around the function of a shepherd. And then how does this then translate with the Lord being a shepherd. Like, yes, I see the practical examples of like what a shepherd does for his sheep. So us as God's sheep, what does then the Lord do, or what is his function as a shepherd towards us?
I think a good thing, a good starting context regarding that question is actually defining what the Lord says in the word with regards to his role.
Yes.
And he said that he is not a hired hand, but he laid down his life for his sheep. Meaning there's this deep element of sacrificial love, an intimate understanding of knowledge, you know, just beyond the provision that the Lord himself gave his life for his people, which I think then just separates that him and that understanding
from any other shepherd.
Yeah.
And then maybe let's then drill into then Jesus Christ. I think if we look at, find there's Psalms 23, but specifically, I think it's John 10, if I understand to be corrected, where he really does unpack his role as a shepherd. Maybe maybe if you can maybe point to us then how Jesus himself then now operates as this this shepherd to us. As
let me read from my notes, because I was also thinking about that point. I did a little bit of research, right? So resting as a believer in Jesus as the good shepherd means one, firstly, actively trusting in his provision. So he provides. In his protection, he protects. In his guidance, because he guides, versus relying on self-effort, right? It involves surrendering our anxieties, finding security in his finished work, and quietening the soul, knowing that he's leading you to specific places. And while he's doing it, he's providing sustenance and peace. So I think the thing that I wanted to highlight on is there's practical ways to rest in understanding that Jesus is a good shepherd. One, it's surrendering control. So the element of completely trusting that this individual knows what he's doing. He's just not there as a name. He's actually serving in a function, and he takes that function quite seriously. In our personal space, I think the thing is this. This is, I found really interesting. As much as the Psalms goes on to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. There's an element of this. We need to allow ourselves to be led by the Lord. Because Jesus is the good shepherd. But if you're not finding yourself in close proximity to the shepherd, then he can't do what he's designed to do.
Amen. Amen. And I'm just thinking about that, because that's also what I was thinking as, yes, there is a shepherd, but we also need to almost then, to what you're saying, assume the position of sheep.
Exactly.
Sheep that allow themselves to be led. Sheep that allow themselves to be taken through those various places where the shepherd would deem fit, right?
And here's the beauty inside of it. This is, I love this part in particular. There's that saying that Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the one.
Yeah.
Now, in the context of a shepherd looking after sheep in the natural, what happens is if a sheep, which is generally a lamb, strays off into the pastures and leaves the flock, the shepherd actually goes after the lamb, leaves the 99, finds the lamb, breaks one of the lamb's legs, puts the lamb on the shoulder, and tends for that lamb while he's tending for the other sheep. So by virtue of that lamb being broken, it begins to understand his voice, begins to understand his heart. And then that lamb, once it's fully healed, never leaves his side. So there's this element inside of us, even when we don't understand that we are God's sheep and we go off, Jesus comes after us. And sometimes he uses circumstances to break certain things inside of us, but he does it out of love.
And I think, that's a very powerful analogy around the brokenness as well, because I think what I'm also hearing is the whole thing around being able to hear his voice. So even in moments of straying, if it were to happen that you're straying, as long as the shepherd can call you out, you can find your way back. If I'm looking at it that way, right? And let's then look at, because we're looking at the shepherd, we're looking at us as the sheep.
Yeah.
If we then can look at within Psalms 23, obviously there's making us lie down green pastures. He restores our souls. He leads us. So, I mean, all of these things, it's almost like David is wrestling with, there's the shepherd role, but he's also looking at the Lord. So he's not just an ordinary shepherd, as you said, he's a king as well. Mm. I mean, we don't necessarily see, for example, a shepherd restoring a soul per se, or the sheep's soul, but because this is the Lord being a shepherd, he's able to do it as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a beauty inside of that. I mean, Jesus fills a multifunctional role.
100%.
Yeah, you get a king and you get a shepherd. Exactly. The contrast is so far apart.
Yeah.
Because in the natural realm, you would not compare a shepherd to a king. But you take the strengths of what a shepherd does, you take the strengths of what a king does, you merge it together, and then you get this divine being who is our senior brother, who has clear understanding of what he needs to do and wants to do in our lives before we even arrive at that understanding.
That's true.
Ours, inside of the context of being a good lamb or sheep, is to submit to the Lord's work.
And I think I want to go back, and amen to that, bro. I want to go back then to that point again of... You mentioned those points around how to rest and abide, because I think that's very important in our walk, because I think it's very easy for us to want our own way, because just for purposes of control.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But we don't necessarily know that wanting our own way is actually straying and leading us into places of danger.
Right.
Yeah. So then how, us then staying in abiding or resting and abiding in this shepherd, it's not easy, but it is worth it, right?
It's worth it. Yeah. I have some points on how we could actually just stay in this place. So I'll read it from my notes, right? So the first point is, one, you've got to surrender control.
Yeah.
Trust in provision. So from our side, we have to acknowledge that the shepherd, not us, is responsible for providing all that we need.
Yeah, yeah.
That's found in Psalms 23, verse 1. This means letting go of the need to control outcomes and trusting in his timing.
Yeah.
Step number two is quietening our soul, finding peace. Actively lie down in green pastures. He provides by, for example, ending your day with a prayer and silence. Mm. It is a mental shift to trust his care rather than worrying.
Sure.
Point number three, read the word to be able to hear his voice. Yeah. Engage with scripture to know him, as sheep recognize and follow the voice of their shepherd.
Yeah.
Remember his sacrifice. This brings about security. Yeah. When anxiousness arises, remember what the Lord did for us on the cross. Remember that at some point in our lives, we accepted him into our hearts. So he now is the custodian of our hearts. We are secure in that understanding. And then cast your cares.
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
Prayer is the thing that separates us from worry and anxiety. Those things may exist, but when we cast our cares upon the Lord, we are acknowledging his sovereignty in dealing with the affairs that are beyond our control.
Yeah.
And the last thing is walking in obedience, following his path. When we do this, it brings peace, it brings righteousness, and there's an active trust in his direction.
I love that. And I think there's almost a path that he wants us to walk, but it's a path that he created. So even in our reading and resting and praying and all of that, it's something that he himself enables us to do.
Exactly. I believe that, Z.
Yeah. I mean, there's just this one passage around, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear no evil because you are with me.
Yeah, and you're running and stuff.
Comforts me. There's something to be said there around, it's either the sheep has strayed into that valley or they are being led into the valley by the shepherd.
Wow, that's right? A deep point.
Because if you are led, because I think if you're going alongside the shepherd and you're going through that valley, you should have surely that comfort that, okay, I'm walking in it. Yes, I'm going through it, but I'm walking through it because at times, the shepherd has guided me in that.
Very true. In that
dark.
Very true.
Yeah.
I think Jesus is very smart in the way that he operates.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. And I think when he wants to take us into a season of valleys, he wants to teach us something.
Amen.
Because we gain context by what we experience.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times if we don't understand the context of life or what other people experience, how can then we minister effectively without understanding?
Amen.
So those valley seasons are at times not bad.
No.
It's meant to develop spiritual muscle.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, when we come out with context, we come out with strength, and it makes us more effective in leading others.
It does. I mean, I think James 1 provides that.
Yeah.
That understanding around rejoice when you go through trials of every kind, because it is developing something in us. And to your point, for effective ministry work. My brother, we're at the end. So I don't know if there's any other points within your wonderful notes that you want us to maybe take home that maybe you've left maybe out of the cutting of your message.
I think the key thing is to understand that Jesus is our shepherd.
Yeah.
He is our older brother.
Yeah.
We have to acknowledge that he has a superior understanding to our lives.
Amen.
He understands the heart of God for us. At times we don't understand it.
Yeah.
So we should really make a conscious effort to look at him beyond just the scripture and understanding and from a knowledge-based perspective that we have a shepherd and he does all these wonderful realities. We should actually engage him as this being who is aware and he's taking us on a journey. I think because if you look at sheep in the context of how they move in the earth, they're constantly moving from place to place, being guided by the shepherd.
True.
So we should allow ourselves in seasons of life to be guided by the hand of the Lord, because ultimately at the end, it's going to produce life, because that's where he wants to really take us to.
Amen, bro.
It's a place of life.
Yeah. My brother, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for just guiding us through just an overview of Psalms and also just drilling in on Psalm 23. And I really pray that whoever, it's been a blessing to me. So I pray that whoever is listening to us, they can just benefit from what you've actually just taken us through.
Thank you, Z. Well, it's always good having conversations with you. I feel like we both learn as we speak.
That's true. Amen. Cool. And to everyone else, thank you once again for joining us from wherever that you're listening or watching us. I hope you are paging through your Bibles, looking at Psalms, looking at Psalms 23, looking at how it points to Christ, but also just finding various pages in the book of Psalms and how they themselves then testify about Christ. So wherever you are, if this was a blessing to you, please hit the like button, go to the comments, ask questions. We're more than happy to just be with you and take you through this journey. You can share it with someone, share it with a friend if it was a blessing for you. Go to our various YouTube pages, share those pages. Follow us on our social media pages as well, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram or X or wherever you may find us, or TikTok even. We're more than happy to serve you. God bless you. See you next episode.